this time, I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is a regular meeting of the Matanuska Kissimmee Borough Assembly on Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010, in the Assembly Chambers. Ms. McKechnie, will you please call the roll?
I sure will. Warren Keough, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Present.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Present.
Mark Ewing, District 4.
I'm here.
Cindy Bettini, District 5, and Jim Culver, District 6, will be joining us.
I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
District 6.
Thank you. Cindy Bettini, District 6, will also be joining us via teleconference. Vern Hall for District 7.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you. We're now on item 3, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda from the Assembly or Ms. Gray?
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Ewing.
I would ask that we hold off on the executive session until more of us can be present in person.
I object, Ms. Mayor, if you let me speak to that.
Mr. Culver, please go ahead.
Yeah, what we're working on, I believe, is just questions for the interviews, so we're not going to get into any selection process or anything like that, so... Isn't that correct, Madam Clerk?
Well, that was the purpose for the executive session, yes, was to form questions. However, the Assembly can decide what they want to do because of the way it was actually advertised.
I withdraw my request.
Okay, so there's not a motion on the floor. Are there any other proposed changes to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is accepted. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Van Dongen, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Cindy, are you on?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'm on.
Thank you. Please note that.
Did we change the agenda?
We did not.
Okay, thank you.
We're now on item 5, minutes of preceding meetings. They are here for your approval. Is there any objection? Hearing none, they are accepted. Reports and correspondence. Item 6, agency reports. Is there anybody here from the City of Houston that would like to speak? City of Palmer? City of Wasilla? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Tafina Katkus. I'm a City Council member from Wasilla, and I'm really glad to be here. It's kind of like a big journey for me to get involved and represent Wasilla and work with the borough. So I'd like to let you know we've had some welcomed additions to Wasilla. We've had two new city council members. Their names are Colleen Sullivan Leonard and Stephen Menard. And we also are getting a new theater you probably already heard. It's a 12 cinema screen. I think it's 40,000 square feet, and they're supposed to be open sometime first of the new year. And we're getting a new Red Robin. And I think there's something else I wanted to say. Let's see. Oh, and we got a new planning director, Tina Crawford. So it's good to be here, and I'm looking forward to be here more often to see what's going on. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anybody here this evening from the school district that would like to please come forward and state your name for the record?
Ken Forrest, Assistant Superintendent for Business and Operations. Good evening, members of the Assembly. First thing we'd like to do is to thank all of you who participated in the Chadwick exercise. We really appreciate the time that the Assembly members put forth in that exercise. Second thing we'd like to do is, I think, recognize that we had, I think, a very successful joint operation with the video conferencing to work towards obtaining a new borough manager. And we're looking forward to further joint projects where we can do better things for the taxpayers, utilizing the resources which we jointly have. And that was all I had tonight. Just wanted to say thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Karen. I think there may be an individual in the audience that would like to speak to the ferry landings from the Port Commission. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Assembly. My name is John Riggs, and I'm the current chairman of the Port Commission for Port McKenzie. As you know, the Port Commission is an advisory commission to the Assembly. We have used the avenue of resolutions and letters, but in this case, we decided a personal appearance from me as the chairman representing all of the members of the commission would be appropriate. There are seven members, and unanimously asked me to be the spokesman for them this evening to the Assembly. The new ferry is called the MV Susitna, as most all of you know, and is presently undergoing sea trials in southeast Alaska. The Navy is significantly involved in those sea trials, as well as the commissioning process. The delivery of that ferry is expected to be in the Matsu Borough, to the Matsu Borough and the Cook Inlet in the spring of 2011. The United States Navy has a significant hand in building this vessel and financing it. Per the agreement with the Matsu Borough, the Navy plans to continue to gather data on the capabilities of this vessel in icy waters of Cook Inlet after it comes to the Cook Inlet. They want to demonstrate the abilities of the future landing craft technologies using that vessel. This is all being handled through the Office of Naval Research, which provided $80 million, or most of the $80 million, for funding the ferry. The ongoing research that the Navy plans on conducting is part of the agreement with the Matsu Borough for the funding and the delivery of the ferry. The ferry has been gaining momentum through the years. It's been a 20-year project, or 20-year on the table for 20 years. And there's several things that I think are important to take note of. The world is taking notice of a ship that has two functions that no other ship in the world has, and that's the function of being a high-speed catamaran-type vessel that's an icebreaker, as well as being a barge-type landing craft. So that vessel has a significant impact, or has had a significant stands out in the world of the naval technology. It was named one of the 10 most significant boats of the year at the International Work Boat Show, which is the largest commercial marine trade show in North America. This month, the Susitna was a cover story of the Work Boat magazine, which is a trade journal. We have gotten in the last 6 months more and more interest in the ferry service from different communities, including the Kenai City, the Kenai Borough. Both have passed resolutions in support of the ferry, looking at providing ways for the ferry to land in Kenai. The native group in Kenai, Kenitsi, have had discussions in their board meetings about the ferry, and probably one of the biggest possibilities for the ferry is the Tionic Native Association's activities that they've planned, or their industrial plans. They're working on coal projects over there. That one of the bigger ones is converting coal to petroleum liquids, and those could result in a ridership also for the ferry. The new Goose Creek Correctional Center, once completed, which is due to open in 2012, will create more jobs. Some of those jobs will probably require the people come from Anchorage, as well as the prisoners from the courts in Anchorage. So there's still a significant use for the ferry, a good, opportunities that I think will eventually turn it into a very viable project. My next part of this is I call the sticky wicket or consequences and repercussions that I think we need to consider. The Federal Transportation Administration provided 80% of the funding for the Port Mac Terminal building. That was a project that was about $7 million, and the other 20% came from our state grant. It's very, very likely the Mat-Su Borough would be under obligation to pay that back. The Navy and the Office of Naval Research would be very, very disappointed if they have funded this $80 million project. The state legislature, I have had the opportunity to discuss this issue with several state legislators, and they view this as would be a disappointing tact or a disappointing situation if the ferry project were not to go forward. We've completed permitting on the construction of the ferry dock, and cancellations or delay of it would create serious other, even maybe not be able to permit that construction. We have completed the design for it, paid over $1 million, and we have probably another $1 million in miscellaneous cost that the borough has spent for preliminary studies and design for the ferry. So we've invested nearly $10 million already. And one of the things that's been a thorn in our heel has been coordination with the Port of Anchorage. And with the new Met administration in the Port of Anchorage, it looks more possible and viable that we will accomplish a ferry terminal landing in Anchorage. In summary, a lot of time and money has been invested in the ferry project by the borough, and it's a shame to let it go for naught. There's going to be egg on faces if our ferry project is canceled or doesn't go forward on the Port Commission, for one, the Mat-Su Borough Assembly members, and local legislators. And it looks like there's funding that can be made available, or we're working on funding sources that will probably complete the funding requirements and some other options for the ferry terminal landing at the port. And sum this up, the Assembly recently removed a $10 million funding request from the capital project state priority list, and dropping this funding sends a message to the legislators that we think that the ferry is a red herring. So I think we need to reconsider that. And so the Port Commission, as directed by me as advisory group, respectfully request that the Assembly consider elimination of the of that and reinstate that $10 million funding request in the capital project state priority list. Thank you much.
Thank you, Mr. Riggs. Are there any questions for Mr. Riggs?
Deputy Mayor?
Yeah, Ms. Bettini, if you could please hold Mr. Keel.
Through the chair, Mr. Riggs. We have this letter correspondence here from the commission dated a few days ago. And it mentions that Mr. Van Dongen informed the commission that we may not be able to construct the Port McKenzie ferry landing in phases since funding is Federal Transit Administration grant funds. He asked for additional time to follow through. What's the result of his query?
I don't think we have gotten that information back yet from Mr. Van Dongen, but we're awaiting that to figure out, you know, the approach, but we still wanted to move forward as if we were able to bid the job out in certain phases and see what their answer was. But we don't want to delay the, you know, a funding request. If we got that funding, then we would bid the job out in its entirety. And that wouldn't be an issue then.
Ms. Bettini?
This would be a question for administration. I wondered what the process would be for putting the $10 million back on the state priority list with the assumption that something may come of it. I guess I'd just like to know what the process is.
Yeah, Ms. McKechnie?
Through the chair or to Assemblymember Bettini, that would be needed a motion to amend something previously adopted, which would need to appear and be advertised on an agenda. But that would be the process for that.
The soonest that that could be done would be
the next regular meeting.
So it would be advertised now for the next meeting to or would it have to be introduced at the next?
No, it just would be advertised as a motion to amend something previously adopted. That's how it would be advertised, and then the legislation would be back on the agenda.
Mr. Riggs, is that what you would like to see happen?
Yes, ma'am. We would like to see some effort that sends the message that we are still fully in support of the ferry landing being built as soon as possible.
Mr. Harbert?
Yes, Mr. Culver?
Just a comment here. To simply recall, or those of you that were partaking when we drafted the CIP list, we specifically put the ferry on the federal ask. That's where that kind of lift is going to have to happen, we felt, and our state list is very tight and short. And we were going to focus on the federal appropriation to fund that. It's not, we didn't drop the project. It just moved over to the federal list, and that's our top priority over there. Did you recall, Mr. Harbert?
That is my recollection. Ms. Bettini? Yeah, did you have something to say, Ms. Bettini?
Yes. I think that we should reconsider having it on both lists, the state list as well as the federal list, for a number of reasons, which I won't go into at this time because it's probably not appropriate. It'd be more appropriate to go ahead, reconsider it, and have the Port Commission weigh in on important issues since they are our advisory group to this issue, and it would also give the rest of the staff an opportunity to talk to us about information that they have through the Department of Corrections and so on and so forth for that other large economic development project that's in the same neighborhood.
Mr. Harbert?
Yeah, I just want to point out to the body that it's really not appropriate to be debating this right
now.
Yeah,
let's take it up another time and maybe a work session on the landing, because there's all these different designs and proposals and letters out there, and, you know, there seems to be this a moving target. So, it's going to take a little bit more work. It's not a yes or a no, I don't think, at this point.
Mr. Woods?
I would make a motion to adopt something or amend something previously adopted.
Okay, so I think I hear concurrence from Ms. Bettini and Mr. Woods that maybe you two could get your heads around that and bring something forward at the next meeting.
I would be happy to do that with the assistance of Mr. Riggs and his board.
We'd be glad to.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman? I would, not Chairman, I'm sorry about that. I would make one comment to one of the assembly members saying we had a moving target there. Just to clear that up a little more information is we have a design that we have adopted and pressed forward with. We sent a resolution to the assembly, a resolution 1003 on October 18th, recommending that we take that design and start bidding it out. So we do have a target, and we have a design, and obviously we're there to entertain any other options that we can find. But we've looked. We went through process of looking at some other designs and that might be cheaper, less money, easier to fund, but elected none of those, and we have adopted the design that we have on the table and have submitted to the borough staff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That brings us to committee reports. Item B, Mr. Culver, would you like to address the Joint Assembly School Board Committee on school issues?
Yep. We met yesterday, and I believe you have Mr. Forrest there today, the CFO.
That's correct.
Yeah, he spoke to the joint efforts to integrate IT and their support efforts, you know, for our video teleconference that we just had. And they're also looking at a joint backup facility where each entity wouldn't either contract off-site or have their own on-site backup for the computer system. So they're working on something there. There sounds like to be, to me, my impression was, and Ronnie may have one different, but that there seems to be a unique opening here. The school district has never come forward and say, hey, let's work together. And this seems like an opening here that we need to move forward on quickly. They're very interested in integrating services to save the taxpayers' money. We gave an update on the borough manager interviews, and one of the items on the agenda was election results, and Tammy reported that the school bonds are waiting for state approval before we can set them on the course to sell it. So waiting for state approval of the bonds. Student count is 16,950, and 93 students above projections, so that's good news. They're implementing a new budgeting system over there, basically an on real-time budgeting. And Mr. Forrest, he's kind of they projected out what their, you know, personnel costs are going to be and some of the revenue shortfalls that are going to come about because of the our stimulus funds drying up, and so they put a hold on new positions, and they're putting aside some cash. He's budgeting in a $2.5 million surplus at the end of the year so that they have it for next year, and they're going to not do this spend every nickel they have at the end of the year anymore. So there's a lot of new changes over there that I think are very positive. They're looking at an early teacher retirement program to lower the personnel costs as one way to bring next year's budget in. And they've reached an agreement with MSEA on their teacher contract. We also spoke about our charter school site going on for Academy Charter, informed them and told them that we wanted to comment from the school board on that proposal. They gave a report on their consensus meeting, and those of you that were there maybe want to speak to it, but apparently it was a very good process, and a lot of people got a lot of value out of it. And they've already met with the delegation with their priorities, I think they said last week, and they've hired Mulder and Associates to be the school district lobbyist. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. I would just like to make a brief comment that the video conferencing tool that's available is working fantastically well with interviewing for the new manager position. And I was excited to hear that the district is going to use that for some of its training and interactive exercises that it goes through on a regular basis. I think that it's a huge opportunity for quite a lot of money to be saved with respect to travel and reimbursement for car time. So that concludes my comments. Item 2, Assembly Public Relations. Are there any members that would like to address this item on the agenda? Hearing none, that brings us to manager comments. Thank you, Ms. Gray. Item D, attorney comments, Mr. Spropoulos.
I'll be sending an email out with the results. As you may recall, we attempted a mediation of a case last week. We were unsuccessful. I'll be sending an email. We had some things to follow up. to the members because we discussed an executive session. And should anybody want to talk about it later, just give me a follow-up phone call.
Thank you. Item E, clerk comments.
The clerk's report is in your red folders. It has the meetings for November, December, and January. And we did need to follow up on a couple meetings. The Assembly requested at the last meeting that I bring back forward the scheduling of a work session for the interim materials legislation. The next time the Assembly, this will appear on the agenda for the Assembly to take any kind of action on is December 7th. Did the Assembly want to schedule a work session prior to the 6 p.m. December 7th meeting?
If we're going to take it up, I think we should have it at least a week in advance. So before the legislation comes forward, we'd be prepared to deal with it.
Before would be the 30th.
Is there any objection to that?
Work session?
No objection. If I may, Deputy Mayor Arden.
Please, Mr. Ewan.
A 5 o'clock meeting on that date.
Okay, I'm hearing 5 p.m. work session on November 30th for a work session on interim materials district.
Should we do this committee of the whole so we can get some direction there, or what would you recommend, Madam Clerk?
If you want to give direction to staff, it's always better to have, of course, you do need to hold a special meeting rather than a work session, and yes, we could do committee of the whole.
All right, I would request that we do the special meeting then so we can get some direction going.
Okay.
Mr. Keel? I thought I might have saw you raising your hand.
I didn't raise my hand, but you were reading my mind correctly.
Okay.
And time for this proposed special meeting or work session would be 5 p.m., is that correct?
Looks like the suggested time right now is 5 p.m.
Just to make you aware in advance, I'll probably be a little bit late. That's my last day on the job with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I'm retiring that day, so but I may be, I'll be there, but probably a bit late.
Celebrate coming to an Assembly meeting.
Yeah.
And then the next item, the Assembly also requested that I bring this back to you, that this meeting was the November 16th meeting. That we do have 3 members that are going to be out at AML, plus a majority of the staff will be gone for AML on November 16th. So did the Assembly want to reschedule this meeting for November 23rd, which is a week later?
Yes, if I can interlude, I think that having the fuller Assembly, I think, can concentrate on the issues would be beneficial.
Hearing no objection, that meeting is moved to the 23rd.
Okay. And then just a couple more. The Assembly planning session was originally scheduled for November 20th, and of course now we've got borough manager interviews on that date. We're getting close to January when the Assembly usually meets on the priorities, so I was wondering if the Assembly would like to meet a date in or a time frame in January, and I was looking at maybe January 22nd or 29th due to the election earlier in the month.
That works for me.
A question, if I may, Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Ewing?
Yeah, the dates, I don't have a calendar handy. What days of the week would that be?
Both of those are on a Saturday.
I'll go for either one of those.
Yeah, can we leave it open, Lonnie, until we can verify which day would work for us?
Sure.
Works either 23rd or 29th?
I'll bring it back to you.
Thanks.
And then there's 2 more, the procurement procedures work session. The Assembly did ask for another one. Is that something the Assembly wants to schedule now, or would you like me to bring back? At one point it was a work session.
Okay, well, I think we need to proceed for members of the Assembly. I would like us to hire a consultant, put out an RFP, hire a consultant to rewrite our code, and then we can meet with them at a work session or special meeting and give them direction on what we want to see change. I think that's the way we're going to proceed on this issue. I don't see us changing it on ourselves. It's too complex.
Well, if I could jump in, unless Mr. Halter had something to say, but I agree with you generally, Jim. I think that I would prefer that it comes back at a later date. such that we can schedule it. We're getting kind of balled up. We're getting into the holidays.
Yeah, we don't need to do it right away, but let's just put that on our top of our do list. We need to dispense with, like, gravel, if that's going to move or not, and what it looks like. And but it does. It will take a while to have somebody draft and procure, you know, hire somebody can take a while, and then once we put them to work, it'll take a while. So maybe we can... maybe somebody can sit down with the manager, tell them what we think we want to do, and then bring some action item forward. Rather than another work session, I'm not ready for one right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one more item, the tall structures legislation was going to be on the planning session agenda. I'm not sure, usually the assembly, when they do hold those planning sessions, at least in January, that usually takes the majority of the day. So I'm wondering if you want to schedule a separate meeting for tall structures, or I can bring this item back later on also.
Okay.
Mr. Ewing?
Yeah, I think Lonnie has a great idea, and let them go ahead and see what they come up with and bring it back at a later date.
Okay.
January, February, probably.
Okay, I will bring that back. And just one more item, candidate filing for the mayor. It begins Monday and goes through November 19th. And that was it.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on, item F, citizen and other correspondence. Any comments from the assembly on this item? Hearing none. That brings us to jumping ahead. To item 8, unfinished business. There is one item of unfinished business. Ms. McKechnie, will you please read it into the record?
Resolution Serial Number 10-082, a resolution approving the Gateway Community Council boundary amendment to include the subdivision of Eagle Estates.
So the main motion is already on the floor from when it was first put there a week ago. Ms. Gray, do you have a staff report?
No staff report unless there are questions on this. Christine, do you have anything to say on it?
Okay. And, you know, Mr. Woods had asked for this to be postponed at the last meeting. Mr. Woods, is there some comments you would like to make on this item?
I'll move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-100.
Is there any objection or any discussion? Hearing none, it's approved. New business. Ms. McKechnie, will you please read new business introductions into the record?
Introductions for public hearing on this. We need to change this date to November 23rd. Introductions for November 23rd public hearing, ordinance serial number 10-103, ordinance serial number 10-104, and ordinance 10-105.
Mr. Halter, do you have a motion?
Thank you. I move to introduce the legislation as granted to the director by the clerk and set the public hearing for November 23rd, 2010.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, they are read and moved. Item B, mayoral nominations and appointments. Vacancy report.
Assembly, there was a revised vacancy report that was emailed out to you. The clerk's office did not move one of the mayor's recommendations over, so that person is now in the mayor's recommendation column. There is actually no motion needed for the vacancy report at this meeting because we do not have anybody in the confirmation column.
Okay. That brings us to item C, other new business, Alaska Municipal League issues. The Assembly's policy states that the Assembly shall hold a work session after the election to review the Alaska Municipal League's proposed policy statement and resolutions. Attached to your packet is a working draft of AML's policy statement. The policy statement will be reviewed, possibly amended, and adopted by the AML board. AML uses these guidelines when lobbying on behalf of municipalities. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Is it the will of the body to move into executive session? We have 20 minutes. We were going to identify some questions. I think the question list is fairly small. I would recommend, if nobody else wants to, that we go ahead and try to dispense with executive session before 7 o'clock. Is there any objection?
I have none.
Okay.
Move to enter into executive session for subjects that can the prejudice or reputation character of any person by the person may request a public discussion. Specifically, we are going to discuss candidates for manager, candidate qualifications, and or interview questions for the candidates. Those present during the executive session will be the members of the assembly, the acting manager, the attorney, the clerk, and the human resources manager for the borough.
Any objection to entering executive session? Hearing none? We did not finish our business in executive session just now, so at the end of the meeting we will be entering, just for the information for the public. That brings us to item 7, special orders. Item B under there, public hearings. This is the public hearing section of the agenda. There are sign-up sheets just outside the room. Please sign up if you would like to speak to any of the public hearings before us this evening. You will have 3 minutes to testify. Please keep your comments specific to the public hearing you've signed up for. This is not a question and answer session, but the members may ask questions of the presenters if they wish on a limited basis. I would also like to remind the audience to turn off their cell phones or set them to silent and to maintain the rules of decorum in this meeting room at all times. I might add, too, if you want to speak, please sign up on the sheets. These meetings have come to a point where many individuals don't sign up on the sheet. There may be 3 or 4 people signed up, and then there's 15 or 30 that wish to. It will always be opened up if you're not signed up, but if you intend to speak, please sign up on the sheet. That brings us to item number 1, Ms. McKechnie.
Ordinance here number 10-098, ordinance accepting and appropriating $605,000 for a portion of the fiscal year 2011 designated legislative grant projects from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, with accompanying resolutions here number 10-086. A resolution approving the scope of work and budget for a portion of the fiscal year 2011 designated legislative grant projects from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
Thank you. Ms. Gray, is there a staff report?
Yes, Public Works Director Sean O'Neill will be giving the staff report.
Thank you.
I'm Sean O'Neill, Public Works Director, to the Assembly through the Mayor. The state of Alaska has granted $605,000 in funds via the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development in the form of legislative grants through the borough to the school district for various upgrades and improvements. As listed in the informational memorandum and accompanying resolution, these grants are primarily for school library and technology upgrades, but there are several other non-capital improvement items as well. Since these funds cannot be expended without your acceptance and appropriation, staff recommends acceptance of $605,000 in grant funds and approval of Ordinance 10-098 with accompanying Resolution 10-086.
Are there any questions of staff?
Yes, I do. I have one.
Mr. Ewing?
Yeah, I question the $290,000 for the school grader. I don't know how that's going to be stored, implemented. Is it going to go school to school? Would somebody please explain how that works?
Do you know the answer?
Mr. Carney, could you please come forward and address Mr. Ewing's question?
The school district currently uses 2 road graders, in our snow plowing efforts and some of our other land clearing efforts that we do as a part of our ongoing maintenance and care. One of them was manufactured in 1974. We can't buy parts for it anymore. So we put that on our wish list, and we were fortunate enough to get funding for a replacement grader for the 1974 model, which we're trying to keep running, but we actually have to go to the machine shop to have parts made because parts aren't available, readily available for it anymore anyway. So, yes, it will be used throughout the school district, primarily for snow plowing, but it's also used for other situations where we need to grade off a flat piece of land to put a portable on or something of that nature. It will basically be used year-round and stored in our yard with the rest of our large equipment.
Any questions for Mr. Carney?
Yes, I, Deputy Mayor Harlan, I have one.
Mr. Ewing.
I guess specifically, of course we don't road this in our feetness, what schools does it maintain, or is it only used in the summer for work around the schools? I guess that's the question I had.
Well, the old road grader doesn't go anywhere primarily outside of Wasilla because it only goes about 30 miles an hour on the road, and you can hardly stay in the seat. But the new road grader is a roadworthy 45 to 50 miles an hour, and it will be used throughout the core area, and we can get a permit to take it if we happen to need it at Willow or Talkeetna or Trapper Creek, for that matter. We can get a road permit, or we can trailer it. But it's meant to use throughout the district. It is not, there isn't any place in the district that we would say, no, we're not going to take it there if we needed it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mayor.
Ms. Bettini.
Just curious, does the school district do all of their own snow plowing, or is that contracted out?
The northern regions, through the chair, the northern regions, the far out regions, we contract out to snow plowing companies in the area. It's put out to bid every year, but from about Willow on down throughout the core area, we do all of our own plowing. We tried, we actually did get some bids on doing, having some local snow plowers do all of the plowing, and it was just way, way too expensive compared to what we can do it for.
Can you use a road grader for all the plowing?
No. We have several plow trucks. We have a couple of loaders. The road grader we use for the larger parking lots, like the Wasilla High parking lot, the Palmer High parking lot. The larger lots, the road grader covers about 14 feet at a time, where a regular snow plow covers a little less than 8. So it's much quicker for us to plow snow. It allows us to keep up a little better. It also allows us to do a little bit better job of scraping down to the pavement.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask you?
Ms. Bettini.
Mr. Carney, you said that you use it year-round. What sort of road projects does the school district need to do in the summer months?
Well, it's rarely that we ever have to do a road project, but what we often do is clear a pad off. If we got requests for portables, say at, let's just say at Burchell, for example, they want a new portable. Well, if we didn't have a flat spot there, we would take the road grader out and we would level that and grade it all off in the summertime, so that in the wintertime, when it came time to move on a portable, all that work would already be done. If we didn't use our road grader, we would have to either rent one or hire that work done. And it just makes it a lot easier for us because we definitely need it for the snow plowing. So if we're able to use it for some other activities at the same time, we just sort of get that sort of bonus use for us. So we like to use our equipment often enough and in a way that's beneficial to the school district, which, of course, makes it beneficial to the taxpayer.
Any other questions for Mr. Carney?
no questions, if you just allow me some latitude just to comment. I think it's a good idea the district has their own heavy equipment, and as a former snow removal contractor, that's how I fed my family in the recession. I think to get the kind of maintenance we need for safety for our buses and students and families, you got to have your own equipment so that when that heavy snow hits, you can just put the equipment right on it. When you're in a contracting situation, if we get a big dump, they're just not going to be able to take care of it all because they have so many contracts to maintain. So I just think it's imperative that the district, you know, if you run an efficient operation, I think we can do it in-house fairly effectively.
Okay, Mr. Woods?
I have a question. What have you done to look at some used road graders, because the construction has really dropped off here lately, and there seems to be an awful lot of really good machinery out at reasonable prices?
We are looking into that right now, as a matter of fact. We find that the $290,000 that we thought would buy a new road grader, due to some price increases and the fact that they're not readily available, is forcing us to look for some other cost-saving ways to acquire a decent road grader. But our situation is that a lot of the equipment that's out there is in fairly decent shape, but it's old. Road graders don't get used very often, so a lot of times the looks is deceiving. And so the older they get, the more difficult it is to readily get parts and pieces for them and to maintain them. And as we maintain all of our own equipment, that's a really important factor for us. So we prefer the newer pieces that we can get. We want to get as much road grader as our $290,000 will get us. We are shopping. So.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carney and Ms. O'Neill. I will now open the public hearing on this issue. Is there a sign-up sheet and any names on it?
No, Mr. Deputy Mayor Arvin, we do not have anybody signed up.
Public hearing is now closed.
Nobody signed up.
Is there anybody from the audience that hasn't signed up? I'm sorry, Ms. Taysom, please come forward.
Thank you very much. My name's Nikki Taysom. I didn't understand what it was for. I wanted to wait till I heard the whole thing. I think I am in favor of community contracts, because then you have the people right there. You get involvement from the community, which strengthens a school. The whole community is, do you see what I'm saying? And also that provides jobs that go out to the community. It's not in-house through union contracts, which were often more expensive. I just feel, you know, I like the idea of the community being involved in their school. And, you know, I think that strengthens the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else from the audience that would wish to speak to this item? Hearing none, now the public hearing is closed.
I move.
Mr. Halter?
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-098 and resolution serial number 10-086.
There is a motion before the body. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Passes. Ms. McKechnie?
Ordinance serial number 10-099, ordinance accepting and appropriating $338,407.49 for a portion of the grant funds from the Alaska State Department of Commerce Community and Economic Development for the Department of Emergency Services fiscal year 2011 designated legislative grant projects, with accompanying resolution serial number 10-087, a resolution approving the scopes of work and budgets for a portion of the Alaska State Department of Commerce Community and Economic Development grants for the Department of Emergency Services projects.
Ms. Gray?
Dennis Prodigan, our Director of Emergency Services, will be giving you staff.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, and to the Assembly. This is to appropriate $338,407.49 for three different projects. Caswell Lakes for $60,000 to build a warm storage facility to house their fire apparatus, the West Lakes Fire Service Area for personnel protective equipment, and the Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service for a 50% match for the purchase of a replacement fire engine, which actually that legislation will come before you in a couple of minutes as well. So staff recommends the appropriation of all funding.
Are there any comments or questions for Mr. Brodigan? Hearing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have one, sir.
Oh, Mr. Ewing? Mr. Brodigan almost got away. Please go ahead.
Mr. Brodigan, I thought that Palmer had their own fire, their FSA, and that they had their own fire department. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Ewing. They have their own. We contract with the City of Palmer to also run our Palmer, our Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service Area. And the synergy, if you will, or the economics of scale have proven to be very, very beneficial since the two share much of the same area.
If I may follow up.
Please.
Mr. Brodigan, so Palmer actually contracts to the borough to handle in the greater Palmer area, which would include, what distance would that be, sir?
The greater Palmer area runs clear out to Wasilla Fishhook, where it joins Palmer Fishhook, then into the into the area surrounding Palmer, down the Glen Highway, towards the junction of the Parks Highway and the Glen Highway.
And if I may follow up one more time, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Please.
Do they retain their FSA funding? Does the borough get that and then dole that out to them? And then, I guess it's a two-part question. And then, do we actually pay them over and above that to maintain that area outside the City of Palmer?
If I understand the question correctly, the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area is its own distinct geopolitical boundary and tax district. The Greater Palmer Fire Service Area collects the revenues from those taxes. From that, then, we work with the City of Palmer on an annual basis to negotiate the price of the contract for services for that year. And we pay that contract price out of those tax revenues.
So, if I may follow up one more time, sir.
You can, thank you.
Yeah, I guess, so they retain their FSA funding from within the City of Palmer, is that correct?
I'm sure they tax their taxpayers for their city fire department.
And then we pay them on top of that to service an area larger than the City of Palmer.
That's correct.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Brodigan.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Culver.
Yeah, just a brief comment. We pay them to administer it, Mark. We still have basically the volunteer infrastructure, you know, our deputy chiefs. They have, you know, management of the overall service area, but the rest of it's, you know, just your basic volunteer network. And I tell you, I'm probably have property in like three or four different service areas. And that's my favorite one. They're like 0.8 forever mills, and I think they get really good bang for their buck. So I'm very pleased with the Palmer Consolidated Fire Service area. It's working, and we've got the best tax rate in the valley.
Mr. Culver, if I may, Deputy Mayor, can I ask one more question and then shut up?
Mr. Ewing, please.
Yeah. You say 0.8 is the FSA funding?
Well, it might be up to 1 mil now, Mark, but it was for a long time 0.75, 0.8, and a lot of them were running 3, 2 mils, stuff like that. And so it makes a big difference on your tax bill, you know.
Sure. Okay, I guess the next question is for Mr. Brodigan. I don't have any of my material here, budget material, but I'm wondering about the FSA funding for the City of Wasilla. And now that we're in with the Lakes Fire District area, maybe you can tell me what I pay as a resident of Wasilla for FSA.
This is not. Mr. Ewing, I might suggest you look at your tax bill. Is there any pertinent question for Mr. Brodigan?
No, I'm just wondering why the city of Wasilla can't be its own FSA and collect our funding and have our own department.
Okay, maybe we could take that up under debating this or another item at another time. Are there any other comments or questions for Mr. Brodigan from the body? Hearing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will now open the public hearing. Is there a sign-up sheet, and has anybody signed up?
Nobody signed up, Deputy Mayor. Arvin?
Is there anybody from the audience that would like to speak to this? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Mr. Halter?
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-099 and resolution serial number 10-087.
Thank you very much. I think I misspoke. I thought that was maybe going to be Mr. Woods. But the motion has been moved. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, passes. Ms. McKechnie?
Ordinance serial number 10-100, an ordinance appropriating $545,000 of interest earnings from the animal care facility lease certificates. $545,000 of interest earnings from the animal care facility lease certificates of participation in Fund 435, project number 10176, for installation of the flooring and additional fencing at the new animal care facility.
Ms. Gray, your staff report, please.
This is not $545,000, but Public Works Director Sean O'Neill will be giving the staff report on this.
Thank you.
Small bills and non-sequential. I'm Sean O'Neill, the Public Works Director to the Assembly through the Mayor. In August of 2007, the Assembly approved the issue of lease certificates of participation for the design and construction of the animal care facility. In 2009, the Assembly approved an appropriation of a portion of the interest earnings on those certificates for additional work at the animal care facility. Today, $9,384 of those funds remain and were rescoped by this Assembly on October 19th to partially fund improvements to the large animal housing area, specifically a rubberized floor and some additional fencing. Additional funds are required to complete this project, and the legislation before you requests the appropriation of only $545 from the interest earned on those certificates to complete the funding required to upgrade the large animal housing area at the animal care facility. Staff recommends and recommends your approval of ordinance serial number 10-100.
Any questions of Ms. O'Neill from the body? Hearing none, thank you very much for your report. I will now open the public hearing for this item. Is there a sign-up sheet and is anybody on it?
Nobody has signed up.
Is there anybody from the audience that would like to speak to this item? Ms. Taysom, please come forward and state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Nikki Taysom. I wanted to address this for a couple reasons. One, I oppose it because I think there's some things that need to be addressed at the animal shelter before you spend more money in terms of the medications and things given. And also, I recently spoke to a gentleman who had his puppy, you know, somebody found it and put it in the pound, and they were going to charge him extra to have new rabies vaccinations and to spay or neuter his pet. And he wasn't sure if he could find the receipt for the vaccinations he'd already had. And his point was, it's my pet, I should have the right to whether it gets vaccinated or spayed, and it wasn't an option for him. And so I think that needs to be addressed. I mean, our pets are our responsibility, and we have the right whether those things are done or not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Mr. Woods.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-100.
Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, passes. Ms. McKechnie?
Ordinance serial number 10-101, an ordinance appropriating $228,407 from the Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service Area Fund Balance Fund 259 to Fund 405, project number 45215, for the purchase of a new fire engine and related equipment.
Ms. Gray?
Dennis Brogdon, Director of Emergency Services, will be giving the staff report.
Thank you.
To the Deputy Mayor and the Assembly, this is the appropriation from the Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service Area's fund balance for $228,407 for a 50% match to the grant that was just appropriated a few minutes ago. This particular fire engine replaces a 1983 Ford Grumman engine that has pretty much seen its service in the valley, and we're ready to surplus it once we purchase this replacement fire engine.
Any questions of Mr. Brodigan from the body? Hearing none, thank you very much, sir. Mr. Keogh, please.
Through the chair, Mr. Brodigan, where will this new engine be housed, and when the old engine is surplus, how does that happen? Where will it go?
Assembly Member Keogh, through the Deputy Mayor. We're playing a little bit of dominoes out there. This particular engine will be housed at Station 35, which is on Palmer Fishhook. It's replacing an engine actually out of Station 33, and we're shuttling the engine that's at 35 to 33 and the new engine to 35. It's not within the city of Palmer. It is in the Greater Palmer Fire Service area, servicing an area with a little higher call volume.
And the surplus engine? I misunderstand that's being transferred.
The surplus engine will go through our procurement, through our purchasing, through a formal process, and they'll put it up for auction at some point in time.
Okay, any other questions from Mr. Brodigan? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I will now open the public hearing on this item. Is there anybody signed up to speak? Is there anybody from the audience that would like to address this item? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Mr. Woods.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-101.
There is legislation before the body. Is there discussion? Any objection? Motion carries. McKechnie.
Ordinance serial number 10-102, an ordinance amending MSB 2.12090, agenda, notice of meeting, order of business.
Ms. McKechnie, is there a staff report?
There it is.
Excuse me. Ms. Bettini, are you online?
I am.
Okay, thank you.
This was requested by Assemblymember Bettini. Basically, what it does is it moves where unfinished business and veto appear on the agenda. Right now, unfinished business and veto can happen before 7 p.m. However, this legislation would actually move it on the agenda so it actually appears before 7 p.m. So that's basically what this legislation does.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, I'd like to open the public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience or has signed up? Pete Praetorius, please come forward.
Hi, my name is Pete Praetorius, and I find it a little disturbing that you want to formalize moving the unfinished business ahead of the audience participation. You know, sometimes people can't quite make it to a public hearing, and if you put it off till later and it becomes unfinished business, then the public is, not allowed to comment on it. You actually did this on November 15th with the lease for Ouzabelle Coal Mine, and that evening you actually moved it ahead of audience participation, which a lot of people were here and they wanted to participate and they were not allowed to participate. And, you know, that was, I thought, flagrantly, preventing people from taking part in the public process. And this will be even worse because it'll make it official and all the time you'll keep the public from participating in the process. And, you know, that's just plain wrong. You need to, if anything, move audience participation to the head of your agenda so that you can, you know, allow the public to come and take part in their government and not just be precluded from the public process. So I'd like you to, you know, not adopt this and at least keep it the way it is, or even better yet, move audience participation up to the very, very front. Well, after the Pledge of Allegiance, of course. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody from the audience that would like to speak to this? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Thank you. I'm Nikki Taysom. I'm also unopposed to this because I've noticed that as well, that there's been situations that were some serious things being addressed, like the coal mine, and the agenda was changed specifically so that audience participation was disallowed. And that is why we have government, so that the people can communicate with you our concerns and that the right choices can be made. And there's been a situation where I was told that once an agenda was published, that it could not be changed. And so I was always surprised when changes could be made. So I would also like a set agenda with audience participation being most important, because it is our government. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak to this issue in the audience? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Ms. Fettini? Mr. Halter, could you please move the motion?
I move to adopt ordinance here number 10-102.
There is legislation before you. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, I had a question for the staff, I guess. On that particular question that these folks have been talking about, it's my understanding you'd be coming off the public hearing. It's unfinished business. You already had the public hearing, audience participation at the prior meeting. Is that correct?
That is usually the case. And if I could clarify one thing, Deputy Mayor Arvin, unfinished business and veto can always happen before 7 p.m. Right. At this point in time. The only thing that cannot happen before 7 p.m. is the public hearings, audience participation, and consent agenda. Just like this evening, unfinished business was taken care of before 7 p.m. So those are the only three items that absolutely cannot happen before 7 p.m.
So this
Ms. Pettini?
I would just like to make a comment on this, in that I asked to have this sponsored after we had several really, really late meetings where very important unfinished business came up to the end of the agenda. And part of the reason that our business was completed was because it was so late into the night that the members of the assembly did not feel that they could do so and wanted, you know, to do it when they were fresh. And never ever not had a public hearing on anything that we passed. So I think the public has lots of opportunity to be heard on business that comes before the assembly. And also, if there is questions that maybe that has not been, we can also extend the public hearing. We can postpone to date certain and keep the public hearing open. So that would still be an option.
If I may, Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Ewing.
You know, I agree with Member Fettini. Unfinished business has had two chances to be spoken regarding public hearing. I agree with that part of it. I don't know why veto is included, because it would seem to me you would want veto at the end of the meeting. So just a thought.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Coleman.
I'm going to reluctantly support this change, although I think when we get a hot issue under unfinished business and the public, more people are coming out and they want to be heard, we're going to have to pull it and move it after audience participation sometimes. I think we ought to plan on that. But I think one of the problems we're running into is we only have so much time to get the public's business done. And then, quite frankly, we're out of gas as well. And I don't really want to have to support going where other public what the bodies are doing, like limiting audience participation to a certain amount of time. In other words, like an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever, some other groups do that. And then whoever signed up first gets to speak and no one else does. So we have open mic for as long as it takes. And other institutions, like cut down their public hearings to like 2 minutes testimonies and things like that. So I think what the goal is here is to try to get some time discipline in our meetings so that we're not running over really late and having, just audience participation use up the whole evening. But I think we're going to have to be flexible on that in the future.
Okay. Any other discussion? Well, I would like to just make a comment. Harkening back clear to my days as a student at the University of Alaska, I spent an awful lot of time testifying to the legislature, and I am the kind of guy that does not like the three-minute rule. It's very frustrating for me. I've testified here at this table and had the three-minute rule. Very frustrating for me. I will support this legislation because the public hearing will have already been taken place. It is not removing the public's ability to participate in their local government at all. What I see this doing is allowing some efficiency in the way these meetings are carried out. So with that, if there's no more discussion, is there objection? Hearing none, motion carries. Well, with that, we are at the audience participation section of the meeting. And there are individuals signed up. Alice Chostick, please come forward and state your name. And on deck is Nikki Taysom.
Hello, my name is Alice Chostick, and I am representing the Matt Valley Coalition. Good evening, Deputy Mayor and Assembly members. We know that the reason we're on the assembly is to help the Matsu Borough be a place that we can all be proud to call our home. We would also like to thank the assembly for taking up the discussion on resolutions 10-031 and 10-032. Unfortunately, you haven't passed them yet. But don't despair. We have some good news for you. We'll be here to help you. It's going to be fun while we're all learning more than we ever wanted to know about coal. So in closing, we want to know that we are here for the long haul and with our three-minute educational messages to help you become more informed about residents' concerns and about the danger of coal development in a residential neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Nikki Taysom and then Nancy Solt.
Thank you very much. I'm Nikki Taysom. I have concerns about several things. Again, the coal, and especially after the presentation by Mayor Marstrom about the rail extension, I see this happening where the state of Alaska's resources are being developed and then sent to other nations, and the profit stays with those who mine them, and we still as a people pay higher taxes. It doesn't come back down to the people where they belong, and that there are things that can be done to strengthen our economy, and I sent y'all an email, and I hope you got that because I worked really hard on presenting a lot of ideas towards that. I also have concerns about the school district and the school board. Things have been talked about how they want to cut back on cost to taxpayers, the reduction in stimulus funding. At the last school board meeting, they mentioned that there was a $3 million shortfall. At that meeting, they also discussed the busing contract. There were many references made to complaints that the school district members had received from not only the employees of the busing company, parents, children being dropped off where they shouldn't be, maintenance issues, things like that.
And after, I think it was like an hour discussion, they still passed that resolution. And they were the lowest bid, and I feel that that was unacceptable. Our children's safety and equipment is paramount. And also, I had addressed three different times of Mr. Burnley, as well as once to the Palmer High School principal regarding Mr. Vig's demonic image on his door to ask to have it removed, and it's still there. And I went to Wasilla High School to talk to the drafting teacher almost 3 weeks ago. And the school board has asked for a bond to put in new carpeting. And I was there at lunchtime, and there were approximately 50 students sitting on the carpet in the halls. There was food literally on the carpet and garbage everywhere. I'm not overstating this. I invite you to visit our high school sometime and actually see what takes place. And I went to the principal and I said, you know, our school board is asking for additional funding to put in carpet in our schools, yet you have students sitting on the floor, there's food on the floor, there's garbage as well. I'm the principal, I run this, it'll be taken care of. And he was pretty aggressive and actually asked the vice principal to stand there, and they were both bigger than I am. And I said, that's not the point. The point is the carpet's stained, and there is a commons area with tile floor that can be cleaned, and there were three tables that weren't even set down for the students to use. And it's about manners. We're here to teach our students respect, not only for themselves and others, but the school that they have. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy Salt and Alice Coolhane, if I pronounced that incorrectly, I'm sorry.
I wish I would have wrote everything down. I never do. My name is Nancy Salt. I'm just representing myself, none of the organization. Back in July, the Assembly passed a resolution and an ordinance form 10055, and we all know that as tax sale number 26. Thanks to, I believe, Jim Culver made the motion to delay the sale until after dividends. I'd like to thank the council or the assembly members that are here, that were here in July, because four families retrieved their property due to that delay. And I'm very proud to say that maybe my whining might have had something to do with it. You know, sometimes you never know. You know, you can ask for something and they can all just look at you and you never really know if anything's going to happen. So thank you, Jim. That was a wonderful thing. Four families now have their property back free and clear. There are still six deceased members of our community, former members of our community, that are going to lose, their families will lose their property in this tax sale. I'm asking that this tax sale be canceled because of several reasons. There's been no borough manager to talk to about this. Normally, I could have walked in and talked to John and said, look, you know, wouldn't it be in the best interest of the borough not to sell these properties until their probate cases are closed? Which was what had happened to my family. They were going to sell my house in the middle of our probate case. And thank goodness that we have conscious thinking people that can make better decisions. And that's what I'm hoping for tonight. I'm hoping that the wholesale can be canceled. There's been no manager to talk to. There has been no notice to these deceased people. They did not receive notice, and I know this because my husband was one of them. There are no signs posted on any of these properties that are for sale. By doing so, neighbors might know how to get a hold of some of the folks. And I know it's hard to get a hold of them because I've been trying. And neighbors sometimes know more about the story of the family than public record. Public record doesn't always tell the whole story. So there are people that want these properties. There are families that are living in these homes. And the whole process of selling a property for 1% of its value. The total assessed value of these properties is over $600,000. Your minimum bid asking price for these properties is $300,000. That's a $300,000 loss. I want to know under which authority this entity is going to sell these properties for that much less than market value. A friend of mine has a house for sale for $200,000. Beautiful house, well cared for. Why would anybody put a bid on that house when there's the chance to get a $241,000 house for $37,000? I believe that the borough is unfairly stuck in the deck. So I'm hoping that we could come up with a better way. And I think, Mr. Arvin, you had thought so also. Maybe Vern, you too. Maybe we could go like other states do with tax certificates, where an investor could come in and buy that debt instead of taking people's homes and making three generations homeless. So, thank you.
Thank you. Alice Coolhane, I think. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name.
It's okay. It happens a lot. I'm a trail user, and I wear a variety.
What?
I'm Alice Colhane, and I'm a trail user, and I wear a variety of hats. I'm cross-country skier, bicyclist, hiker, and equestrian user. And I've written out my comments to you. Dear Borough Assembly members, I respectfully ask you all to support the Planning Commission's two resolutions as were proposed to you at last week's combined Planning Commission Borough Assembly meeting. Tonight, my presentation relates to access issues. Trail access has been down in the list of priorities in the ongoing discussion about Uzabelli's plans for usurping the Wishbone Hill area. But it is important to all trail user groups because this supports the borough's stated premise that we need to continue to protect the health and welfare of all residents. My horse, Tinny, is such a resident. He's an Icelandic gelding, 21 years old. The English translation of his name is Cole. 6 years ago, his Anchorage-based owners sold him to me because, in part, he needed to live in a clean environment. You see, Tinny has COPD, an asthmatic condition that's exacerbated by dust. Over the past 6 years, Tinny and I have spent innumerable time on the Wishbone Hill trails, both solo and in the company of other horseback riders. The proposed mine site will block a well-traversed route. That is one that starts in the Moose Creek Recreation Area, goes to Granite Creek, and extends to points beyond. Exploration efforts in the Wishbone Hill area began this summer. I can no longer ride there because Uzabelli, our good neighbor, has recently created a dust bowl that is deleterious to my horses and my health. At the same time, they further open the area to ATV users, who on any given day can be found there in large numbers. It's a truism. ATV users like rutted trails and mud pits, and horseback riders do not. As one riding companion recently said to me, "Gosh, you take your life and the life of your horse in your hands when you ride there." One argument I've heard that I might ride elsewhere doesn't hold much weight because the majority of trails in the Buffalo Soapstone Community Council District have, due to excessive ATV use, been trashed. Also, the Wishbone Hill Trail, unlike others, is a supposed thoroughfare trail. Another argument that I've heard, which is that I should move elsewhere and take Tinny with me, also holds no weight. No one in their right mind would buy a place that's located adjacent to a mine site. Pete and I have also put our entire savings into fixing up our off-the-grid property. We've done so much that we now give tours in which we show people our combined garden site, horse facility, and alternative energy installation. Uzabelli project manager Rob Brown once assured me that Uzabelli will build a safe, multi-use trail around the mine site. I'm skeptical about this promise because to date, neither he nor any other Uzabelli representatives have sat down and talked with local advocacy group members about the adverse effects related to putting a coal mine in a multi-use area. Some of these groups include the Backcountry Horsemen of Alaska, the Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers, and Alaska Trails Incorporated. What representatives of these organizations will contend is that, in general, trail building and maintenance takes considerable time, forethought, and planning. Right. Upon closing, I would like to say that your adopting the two proposed resolutions will, in the long run, have an overall positive effect on the general quality of life in the Mat-Su Valley. And so, trail use and access is, in the great scope of things, no trifling matter. Rather, it's something to consider as you proceed with your chamber-related deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to address the assembly this evening in the audience that hasn't signed up? Seeing none, that concludes the list. That brings us to the item D, consent agenda. Are there any items to be pulled from the consent agenda this evening?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Mr. Culver.
AM to see the meeting schedule.
AM 2C.
AM 10-095.
Are there any others? Mr. Keogh.
I request we pull AM number 10-095.
Any others? Seeing none? Hearing none? Ms. McKechnie.
What's remaining on the consent agenda is resolution serial number 10-089, a resolution establishing dates certain for payment, delinquency, protest, and appeal of 2011 regular assessment and tax rolls, business inventory filing, and for the commencement of hearings before the Board of Equalization, and number 10-091, approval of change order number 2 to Granite Construction, the amount of $137,856 for the Wasilla High School fire hydrants and site circulation and security improvement project. And AM number 10-097, authorization of amendment number 2 to contract number 09155 to EMC Engineering LLC in the amount of $115,000 for special inspection and testing for Goose Creek Correctional Center.
Assemblymember Halter, will you please move the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk?
I will move the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Any objection? Hearing none? It is read into the record. Mr. Culver.
Yes, sir.
Item 2C. Oh, I'm sorry. Please, Ms. McKechnie.
AM number 10-094, approval of change order to Western Construction and Equipment, LLC, in the amount of $120,000 for additional work to the Engstrom Road Upgrades Project.
Mr. Keogh, you pulled this. Do you want to speak to it? Rather, would you please move it first and then speak to it?
I move we adopt Assembly Memorandum number 10-094.
Thank you.
And the reason I ask that this be withdrawn is perhaps simply for discussion purposes, as a matter of education for those of us that are rookie assemblymen. In the process of reading the packet here this evening, I notice, and perhaps this is a not unfrequent way of doing business, but perhaps we could get someone from administration or staff to further enlighten me on this. As I read the action memorandum and the change order information attachment and so on, this was an original contract in the amount of, and I would qualify. What I'm saying is I know absolutely nothing about this project other than what I've read here, and I'm not necessarily opposing it. Again, it's just a matter of enlightenment, perhaps, for a new guy. The original contract was for an amount of $764,000 plus. This is the second change order for this original contract, and the change order amount totaled with the previous one is 36%. Over and above the original. So I'm wondering if it's possible if I might have an explanation of how this came about and how frequent of a situation we have here with change orders and cost overrun.
Ms. Gray.
Through the mayor. Yes, we've got the project manager here who can speak to that as well as the public works director.
Good evening to the Assembly through Deputy Mayor Arvin. I'm Jim Rowland, a staff engineer with Public Works. And Engstrom Road is a primary collector, one of the borough's primary collectors. Goes from Bogard North, serves a large area. This was a road upgrade project that was funded through the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and through RSA 25 through a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service grant with ERA funds, and also through dust control funds, which were matched with RSA 25 funds to complete the paving. The project was begun in June and completed in October. It went very well, and it was a very successful project.
Yeah, if I might jump in, I did a site visit on this project at least three times this summer. And Mr. Rowland, maybe you can speak to why this particular change order is on the table and how it relates to the quantity variations in the project.
Yeah, we had two previous change orders. The first one was for $70,000, and this was a corridor project, and when we bid it, we didn't know how our bids were going to come in, so we broke it into pieces. We had a base bid, an alternate 1, 2, and 3. So as the project progressed, we were able to continue on and do some of these other things that we really wanted to do on the project, and we had the funding for it. So change order one, we were able to add some things that weren't in the original award. Change order two basically did the same thing. And change order three, now that the project is pretty much complete, we know what all the final quantities are, and so that's what it's covering.
Mr. Keel?
Just a follow-up comment through the chair. Mr. Rowland, thanks very much for the explanation, and perhaps if you're okay with it, or Ms. O'Neill is okay with it, maybe one or two of us new guys can spend a little time in your office so we get a better handle on what these projects are about and how these cost changes occur. And
yeah.
Absolutely. Mr. Deputy Mayor?
Mr. Culver?
Yeah, Mr. Rowland, maybe I got two things for you. The first one, maybe you can kind of go over with the assembly that trouble culvert there on Engstrom Road connected to Nicholson Lake and Cornelius Lake, and just the abundance of salmon spawning through there. I think you got kudos for this project on that culvert installation.
Yeah, when it was complete, Fish and Game was actually using it as an example of how they like to see these fish passage projects, and they were bringing folks out there to see how it turned out. And there was a 4-foot culvert that it's actually the headwaters of Cottonwood Creek that was connecting two lakes that this road crossed through. We had to take out an S-curve, and so one of the major facets of this project was to replace that 4-foot pipe with an 8.5-foot culvert, and we were able to replicate the stream inside the culvert, something Fish and Game loves to do. So it was a fish enhancement project, and that was the portion that was funded with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service funds, ARRA stimulus funds, and turned out great.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Culver?
Yeah, and Jim, could you kind of explain to the assembly how you were able to fast-track this project because of the funding source? Number one, the main emphasis is on direct grants from the state legislature through the Department of Commerce rather than through DOT, because I think you've had nothing but trouble every time money is funneled through DOT with all kinds of memorandums of agreement. And it doesn't seem like we were able to get a job built. We're haggling over the wording and the funding and the management of it.
Yeah, these grants from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development really come with no strings attached. We're able to jump right on them. I think we got the grant approved in 2008. And then last year we put out a consultant contract for the design. We got all the utilities relocated. Basically, the entire project from beginning to end was completed in 14 months. And it was a major upgrade to a 1.3-mile road within the borough. So those grants are great.
Any other questions from the body? Well,
yes, I do.
Mr. Ewing.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I guess the change order number one, the excavation of the two hills to improve the site, why was that not identified in the original contract? And when I look at here, I agree with Mr. Keel that seeing an increase of almost 30% original bid on this job and And also, I'd like to know what amount of money was contributed by the salmon project on this project.
Mr. Rowland, maybe you could elaborate a little bit on the original funding amount and the worry that maybe there wasn't enough funding and why the project was broken into three pieces. I think that might address Mr. Ewing's question.
Okay. Yeah, the entire corridor that we were trying to upgrade was all the way from Bogard up to Settlement Avenue, a distance of 1.3 miles. And we went ahead and designed the entire corridor. We went ahead and cleared the right-of-way for the entire corridor. And then we went, because we had to do that to beat the bird window. Then we went to bid for the actual construction, and we broke it into pieces because we weren't sure how different pieces of that, how much they were going to cost. So we had a base bid, and then we had the three alternates that I discussed before. And so when we awarded it, we awarded the base bid and two of the alternates. And the most expensive one we weren't able to award, but what we were able to do with those first two change orders was go back to that area and do some of the most critical things. And that was to cut two of these hills down, and then to do a little bit of realignment, and then to replace the pavement, which was very much deteriorated. And so we were able to, since we were already there, we were able to do majority of what we had originally intended to do, even though we weren't able to do the whole thing with the initial award. So I don't know if that's, does that confuse the issue more, or?
Mr. Ewing, did you get your question answered?
Well, I guess that's the question I'd have is, who did the design work on this project? Because it seemed like the two hills to improve site should have been included in that initial RFP.
Oh, yeah, they were. The design of them was. Alaska Rim did the design for the borough. But we didn't award that part for the construction. Yeah.
So maybe if I could jump in, I think maybe this body in the last year, I think, has keyed in on items that are on the consent agenda, and specifically items that have change order in the language of the action. This project, I think it's fair to say, was obviously a change order, but it may be better understood if, Mr. Ewing, if you consider it to be a contract modification within the original budgeted amount for the project. And so, and I can only say this because I spent a lot of time with Mr. Rowland on this project this summer. It's in my district, so I had interest to do that. And when the project was developed and put out on the street in phases, it was because there was a worry that there wouldn't be enough money to complete the entire project. And so as the bids came in, it was discovered that they were able to add the different phases within the original scope of the project funding. So even though it's a change order, it's really a contract mod within the original budget, I think is a fair way to put it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. You explained exactly what my question was. Thank you.
Is there any other questions for staff?
I think he asked what portion was for the. We end up spending $150,000 on the fish passage pipe. $100,000 was the ERA grant, and then the RSA matched that with $45,000. So.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, it carries. Mr. Culver.
Thank
you, Mr. Mayor.
I move AM
10-95.
Can I read it?
Please, Ms. McKechnie. And that would be AM number 10-095, approving the Assembly's regular Assembly meeting scheduled dates for 2011.
You want to speak to that, Mr. Culver?
Yeah, there's a couple dates I would want to point out for the Assembly that you might want to consider changing or removing. I got the 5th of July on there. The practice has been that the 4th of July meeting hasn't been held. That's kind of our summer break, if you will. And so I'd recommend that we take that off. And so we could have a little time, summertime, maybe go fishing or something right around 4th of July. So that would be my amendment, but I'm willing to change it if other people want to do things. January 4th, I'm not sure if we want to meet then or not. I just wanted to make you aware that that one's on there too. A little close to New Year's, but not that close. But I've seen them like the next day, like January 2nd, and never seemed to be, everybody kind of wasn't in the mood much to do meetings then, but I definitely think we ought to, at a minimum, remove the 5th of July.
Yeah, Mr. Culver, can you please state the 4th of July in 2011 and...
The other one I guess I'd just amend to remove the 5th of July for now and take care of that, and then the other one is 4th of January. So my primary amendment is to remove the July 5th meeting from the schedule for 2011.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Mr. Ewing?
Yes, sir. I speak in support of that. I think Mr. Culver has a good point.
Thank you. Hearing no objection, the motion carries. The amendment, excuse me.
If I continue, Mr. Mayor, January 4th, I think I'd just like to hear some feedback from the body if we want to go ahead and move on with that one at that time. I don't know what everybody's holiday plans are or not.
Mr. Irvin?
Ms. Bettini.
I'm sorry that I keep on coming in and out of this meeting. I've had two phones go dead on me.
We're glad you're back.
And I would like to say that I think we should have the January 4th meeting.
You think we should have it?
We should not. Yes, we should have it. I think that the holidays are well over, and
I think Mr. Halter queuing up to.
We're at 22 meetings after deleting July 5th, and then we're going to have how many meetings you think we'll add to the budget? Dozen.
And work sessions and work special sessions, meetings.
So we're probably running 50 meetings. It seems like a lot to me, but how many?
Actually, more like 70 than 90, depending on the year.
So I probably wouldn't mind seeing the January 4th go over, or some sort of consolidation on some of these meetings.
So I would so move that we delete January 4th and put that on the table.
Is there additional discussion? Mr. Keel.
I guess I would agree with Ms. Bettini if the, unless there's a dearth of items to be scheduled. I'd like to see the meeting go ahead, but if it's I don't have any strong feelings about it, but I'm okay with a January 4 meeting.
Mr. Woods?
I'm okay with January 4, but let the majority decide.
Any additional discussion?
Mr. Irvin?
Yes, Ms. Bettini.
If we were going to try a number of meetings, I would recommend that we go for something, it seems like that's one that I'm not looking at a calendar in March, but it seems like that first meeting in March is the one that always wrecks my Iditarod. That would be my opinion.
Okay.
It's a better time to take a break. It's sunny night in the winter sports.
Is there additional discussion?
No, I would support, if I could, Deputy Mayor.
Please, Mr. Ewing.
I would support Ms. Bettini's idea to I feel the holidays are also over by the 4th of January, and I like the fact that we have this laid out so we can actually plan vacations. And right now I'm currently in Florida, and I agree. I'm done. I'm holidayed out after the first or the second of January, so I don't know why we would hate to speak against your.
Well, you can amend it if you guys want to pick another day. I just did that to put it out.
Well, I think we need to do that, but what I'm just saying is I've got no problem with that meeting on the board.
Mr. Mayor, but I mean, yes. I was just kind of moved by Mr. Halter's observation. You know, what if, and then Ms. McKechnie, did you say 90 meetings? We're locked in for.
It just depends on the year through the deputy mayor to assembly member Arvin or Clover. It can be up to 90 meetings.
I guess that's my point right there.
Okay.
I mean,
yes, please.
That is a good point. And 90 meetings in the 365 days in a year, it's it is a good point. So I'm wavering right now. So.
Is there additional discussion? Well, I would like to voice my opinion. I think, too, that canceling that meeting is not a bad idea. There are, I think, a number of individuals, staff, and assembly members, and members of the community that have travel plans over the New Year time. And to push that meeting off for another several days, even, I think would be a benefit. So I would support the amendment to delete the meeting on January the 4th. Mr. Keel.
I'll support that. I'm fine either way. If that's the sense of the assembly, I'm fine with that.
Mr. Halter?
I'll move Ms. Bettini's request to March 1st and to delete it to.
What date was this?
March 1st, 2011, Tuesday.
You need to take care of this one first because you could either need to change 1-4.
Mr. Halter, we've got a motion on the floor that's an amendment. I wonder if it would behoove the body to dispense with that one and then take up your... Okay. Is there objection to deleting?
I would object.
Hearing objection, please vote. A yes cancels the meeting?
A yes cancels the meeting, yes. Assemblymember Culver?
Yes.
Assemblymember Ewing?
Yes.
Assemblymember Bettini?
No.
It passes with Assemblymember Bettini opposed.
I'll move,
Mr. Halter,
that we also delete March 1st, 2011.
Is there discussion? Is there objection to deleting the meeting on March 1st?
Yes.
Hearing objection, please vote.
Yes, deletes it.
Yes, deletes it. Assemblymember Ewing.
This is on the consent agenda.
No, this is on deleting the March 1st regular assembly meeting.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Bettini.
No.
It passes with Assemblymember Bettini opposed.
Okay, so now we're back to the main motion, approving the Assembly's regular meeting schedule dates for 2011. Is there discussion? As amended. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it carries.
I move to be on our executive session as previously held on this evening. It's specifically to discuss cabinet manager, cabinet call page. Any questions?
There's a motion on the floor. Is there objection? Hearing none. At 8:12 p.m., we entered executive session.
That was my fault. No, I will add it. I will add executive session back on to the agenda.
Okay. Mr. Spropoulos? Oh, no. You're already done. Earlier on the agenda, right?
Yeah, but I know that sometimes the mayor does it twice.
Okay. Do you have any comments?
I do not have any comments. I would just, you know, as we move forward with the process.
Okay. Ms. Gray?
I have no comments.
Ms. McKechnie?
No comments.
Mr. Halter?
Very little comment tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Keel?
Briefly, I mercifully, you've solved the problem of how to go about interviewing the mayoral candidates. And if we ever do this again, perhaps fewer social directors. I think we came to a pretty good outcome, but it was a bit of a torturous route for some of us. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Woods?
No comments.
Mr. Culver?
Mr. Deputy Mayor Arvin, I'd like to compliment you on a well-run meeting. We were moving right along until we hit our executive session, and I'd like to see things moving as good as they did. Mr. Deputy Mayor, I do have one concern I need to raise to the body. I understand there are a lot of money being moved around, budget transfers happening within departments that we have no knowledge of, and I'd like to know what's happening and where money's being transferred back and forth. If we have excess money out there, I'd kind of like to save it rather than spend it. So I have the following motion. I move to direct the administration to immediately halt all interdepartment and intra-department budget transfers. All budget transfers shall be approved by the assembly until further notice. A report shall be provided at the next assembly meeting. And Lonnie, I'll email that to Nick so you can have that. And just for the, I want to know where we're at. If we're having a lot of budget transfers, let's cool our jets on that. Let's bring the assembly in the loop. If there's money needed in different departments that's being moved around, I'd like to know. I think the rest of the body would like to know. Kind of give us a snapshot mid-year where we're at on budget. And exercise a little bit of oversight as we transition to the new management. I'm not trying to micromanage, but we just want a snapshot. I think it's important that we know what's going on inside our finances so that we can probably release that if we find out what's going on and what kind of transfers are taking place, and we're brought into the loop on this.
Is there discussion? There's a motion on the floor. Mr. Culver, I was just handed a note by the clerk that says that may be very difficult, especially with the clerk's office, given that there's a special election coming and they do need to move some money around.
Okay, I would change my motion, accepting the clerk's office.
I wonder, although I applaud your motion, I wonder if we would inadvertently, without additional staff members here to speak to or to be giving us red-faced eye-rolling, if there might be something that we would inadvertently stop by having it blanket. I do worry about that. Can we add some other language to your motion, Mr. Culver?
Yeah, I have it. I do think we want to, before all the money's transferred, we want to know what's needed and why are they occurring, and to have them justified. I think it's important for us to exercise the oversight. How can we keep operating? We can put a caveat in there that the deputy mayor would approve any budget transfers pending full reporting and oversight by the entire body of what's going on.
Okay, well, we've got an amendment on the floor about exempting the clerk's office. Maybe we can dispense with that. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so moved. The amendment to exempt the clerk's office is passed. The main motion's still on the floor. Mr. Halter?
I was under the impression we were putting this on the next business cycle, next meeting. We're going to vote on this right now.
Well, that's the way I guess we're looking at a snapshot. I don't want them to the cows will already be out of the barn by the time we take action, I guess. But I'm willing to compromise on some kind of a wiggle word. I think we could delegate an additional sentence in accepting if approved by the deputy mayor in the pending interim till we have a chance to see what's going on and have them explain what they want to do and then approve it and release this. I don't know that there's a great crisis going on, but I know it's going on, and I think we need to be in the loop.
Mr. Spropoulos?
Through the chair, Assemblymember Culver, what you're talking about here is an administrative function because the assembly by law appropriates money by ordinance. So, you know, the administrative functions, if you're going to delegate authority for administrative functions, it goes to the manager. I don't think it's valid under state law in a strong manager form of government for the assembly by staff direction.
Okay, well, let's make an exception. I agree with you there. We do have the oversight and the constitutional and statutory authority. We manage the finances. We exercise the oversight and approval, and we are deviating from standard contract approval and budgetary rules here, but this is the only way I think that we can really get that snapshot we're looking for, what's occurring. So I would add further to that, unless approved by the acting borough manager in the interim. In other words, she's going to get the message that we want to put a halt on that. If there's an issue out there that something has to happen, she has the authority to do it. Meanwhile, we get a chance to get a report and act on this.
Mr. Keel?
Well, I guess I have a question first addressed, if I may, through the chair, first to Mr. Culver and then later, subsequently to the acting manager. I'm not aware of any massive budgetary transfers, so if you could enlighten us, Mr. Culver, I'd appreciate it, and whatever follow-up response you have, Ms. Gray.
Well, I know they're occurring, and I would like to know what they are. And there's, we cut a lot of departments, so I'm curious to see if we're backfilling in departments that were cut. And by transferring money between departments and intra departments. And I think we have a lot of slop in this budget too, Warren, and I'd like to get at where it's at. More of a budgeting tool for next year than anything.
Any comment, Ms. Gray?
I'm unaware of the mass transfers that you're referring to, Assemblymember Culver. I'd be happy to discuss anything with you that you'd like to discuss and see if we can get to the bottom of it. Happy to look into whatever you need to look into as well, but I'm just not aware of any mass transfers of budget right now.
Well, if I could follow up, I too have been approached by some people specific to a couple departments in the borough. I'm not going to name what departments, but that there is some going on. I don't think Mr. Culver insinuated that it's massive, but that it is going on. Ms. Gray, when a department head does a balance transfer from interdepartment, do you know about that before it happens? Or
no,
do they approach Tammy and just say, this is what we need done?
That will typically go through finance, not through the borough manager's office.
Okay, so Mr. Culver?
Yeah.
How about until we get a clear report on whatever meeting that's going to be, how about we ask for email reports from Ms. Clayton for a period of time that are vetted to the assembly members through the clerk, if that's appropriate, so we know on an ongoing basis here for the next few weeks until we get a report about that?
That's fine.
And would that be sufficient then to remove your request to stop all of them?
Yeah, that would be fine. I would request oversight by the manager, though.
Okay.
It wouldn't be a finance call. She'd still be in the loop, and then we're working through the manager informing the assembly, this is what we have going on, I'm aware of it, here's what we, And then if they have a bunch of them they want to do, I'd expect to see an assembly memorandum come forward with those mid-year budget adjustments.
So, Yeah, so Jim,
I'll withdraw the motion if the body would allow me, and if we could carry out those. Is there consensus? Is that kind of the direction we want to go, Mr. Deputy Mayor?
I think there's probably consensus to have your motion withdrawn. Is there any objection to withdrawing the motion?
No.
Don't hear any. So, Mr. Culver, if you could restate what your expectations are then for the next several weeks until we get a staff report.
Right. We would be informed via email of budget transfers, and we would request that they would be signed off by this acting manager. And then if there's a bunch of budget transfers that need to happen, that they be put together in an assembly memorandum, and we take care of it as an interim budget adjustment so that we can be kind of become aware of what's going on inside the departments so we can prepare for next year's budget. So we would then approve a batch of them down the road. If there's a bunch need to happen in December, then we would expect to see some kind of a memorandum on that, an explanation why the money's being transferred, for what purpose.
I think I've got it. But the word "a lot" may have a different definition by
me. Well, go ahead and wordsmith me. I think you know what I'm
Okay, well, how about in excess of, I don't know, a number, $50,000, $25,000?
Well, it depends what it's for. If it's travel or something, I think I want to know what we're spending on travel, for instance, and hardware. But if it's not a budgeted item and it's a transfer, then it's something that wasn't plugged in the budget, and so it's outside of the budget cycle. And so if you spend $50,000 on computer hardware, for instance, that wasn't in the budget, well, that's something that we didn't budget for.
Okay, so how about instead of the words "a lot," how about "any"?
That's fine.
Or "all." And then we'll just get reports on everything until we can have a staff report.
So just reports, but then I heard something about an action memorandum coming forward, so I wasn't real certain.
So the AM, I believe what Mr. Culver is requesting, the AM would include all budget transfers that have occurred for week by week or...
So you mean IM, or are you still looking for the Assembly to approve the budget transfers? Because the AM is an action memorandum.
Mr. Culver, I think you were looking for a report, not...
I was looking for a report, and then let's just say, I'd like a report for where we're at today on these transfers. And for, like, December budget transfers, they would be approved at our first meeting in December.
So he's still looking for...
That would be the AM. But I'll report by our next meeting.
Okay, it's getting a little bit clouded here.
All right, well, we'll just stick with the report then, and we'll go from there. If we want to move into approving at the next point, we'll do that.
Okay, Ms. McKechnie, does this require a motion, or is this direction given to Ms. Gray's office?
I think... Assemblymember Culver can ask for the direction. Now, if somebody objects to it, then a vote would need to be taken. But I don't think it requires necessarily a formal motion.
Okay. Is there any objection? And is there any additional clarity needed for where we're at on this issue by the body? Hearing none, you have a new direction, new directive, or a new request.
Could I get the clerk to read the directive?
This, how long is this? How long does this last into the future? Is this just temporary, or is this
temporary for now? I think we want to see, we want a snapshot, see what we've got happening.
Well, yeah, we should trigger this somehow so it comes back before, so we find out what impact it's had.
Okay, so I think what I heard was a desire to have a staff report on this and. A historical snap, maybe the idea would be look back how far, Jim.
I say from fiscal year beginning, what's happening? What has been transferred this year and for what purpose?
Okay, and then we'll get a staff report on that. Looking at the calendar, when can we ask for that money?
The next meeting will be November 23rd. So we would need to have it in the packet by the 12th. So I don't know. If that
probably first meeting in December would be better.
Why don't we have Ms. Gray get with Ms. Clayton in the morning and let us know what, is this going to be something easy for her to come up with?
I don't know. A couple of things through the mayor. A couple of things that I've asked for recently that I thought would be very simple have turned out to be quite complex because it's not just a push of a button.
Right.
So I would like the opportunity to see what this is going to entail.
So we could tentatively set it for December, what, 7th?
It would be the 7th, yes.
And Mr. Culver, if staff needs more time, maybe they can come back and we can move that off the agenda to a later date.
Right, we're still going to get updates happening, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, to follow up on that a little bit, and this is not meant to be a word of disappointment to anybody here or that has been here since I got elected a year ago. I've asked for a detailed, as you may remember, Mr. Halter, a detailed list of consultants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken a long time to put it together. I actually have the list, but there's no values on dollar amounts per mm-hmm. those consultants.
So it's hard to...
Yeah, and I don't know why. I just know that it's difficult. And I've spent a lot of time discussing it with Ms. Gray. I think this exercise that Mr. Culver is requesting is going to be a lot more difficult than trying to find out. So, Mr. Culver, this... You know, I think getting the reports for now, but there should be an expectation that this might not be answered as quickly as one might hope.
When do we start the budget cycle for the next year? I mean, when are we going to go to crunch time?
It usually begins in March to early April.
And so this information, Mr. Culver, you want particularly for that budget cycle, correct?
Yeah, I'd like to have real-time information.
Right.
What's going on right now with our budget? Where is money being moved around? And what for?
I would hope that question is easily answered.
Me too.
But. Okay.
I got one more time.
Yes, sir.
That's probably to the clerk, I guess that issue we were talking about with the school board on that, was it $5 million reserve? I saw that, some sort of a draft coming.
Mm-hmm.
What needs to happen next?
I did email it to both you and Assemblymember Ewing. I just am waiting for a response to say yes, please go forward with it.
Well, on my behalf, go ahead and go forward with it.
Okay.
Okay, I think that brings us to my comments. I have a goal in running these meetings, and I just wanted to put this out for, and this is only going to happen for the next couple months, and then there'll be somebody else sitting here that's elected. But in that time period, there may be advantage, depending on the length of the agenda, about implementing the two-speak rule. Okay? And I think it should be a little bit subjective based on what the body feels about the agenda for that night. But I expect to be asking the body for no objection to that at different times. I want to try to get these meetings done without a lot of pontification. I don't think that happens a lot, but it happens enough where the meetings are extended. And with that, I think that we got a lot done today, frankly, and I look forward to trying to be as efficient to run these meetings as possible. If you see me, like tonight, extending people some time, I mean, there was a couple people that were testifying about time, and so, you know, it would have been at least awkward for me to cut them off. So, I want to be able to have a little bit of latitude there, but I don't want to see things dragging on, so I'll be asking for the body's consideration on that from time to time. And with that, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.